When it comes to the book of Revelation, there are a lot of symbols. Sometimes people call it the scary book in the back. But the truth is, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, and that's how we need to look at it. And the rest, he's going to give revelation about what's going to happen. I'm not so much here to look at the beast and the false prophet. Those things will come, the Antichrist. But the truth is that when you find the Christ, I mean, he can reveal the rest that's needed. Are you with me? I'm not looking to go through the great tribulation. I'm looking to be appointed unto heaven. Hallelujah. He has appointed me unto wrath. And when the book of Revelation is fulfilled, it's the wrath of God poured out on those who are disobedient. Truthfully, it's God bringing this earth back under subjection to Christ. But all through Scripture, right now we're living in the church age. Would you agree? How many agree? So right now, the church is the witness to the world. When the book of Revelation starts to be fulfilled, there are going to be two witnesses that God will raise up. Then there'll be 144,000 witnesses, which are Jewish individuals. They're not Jehovah Witnesses. God knows all the tribes. Back in the days, a lot of the records were destroyed, and many couldn't trace their lineage anymore during the days of Babylon, but God knows all the 12 tribes. Can you imagine if 144,000 Jewish, born-again, spirit-filled believers get radical and start sharing the gospel? It'll spread quickly. There will always be a witness. And I read in Scripture, even there are times where angels have declared to this world, repent, repent ye. God will always have a witness throughout Scripture. Right now, the church needs to do its business. This pandemic cannot silence the church. Say amen. We need to be about what God wants to do, to speak the truth in love. Now, I understand all the things going on, but we still need to open our mouths. If I have a mask on, I'm still going to open my mouth. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 1, let's start with verse 1. It says, this is a revelation of who?
Jesus Christ.
Somebody say Jesus Christ. When you read the Scriptures, it's always fitting to me that from Revelation 1 all the way to Revelation 22, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now with that, he's going to share some things that are happening in the past, some things that happen in the present, and things that are happening in the future. But I want you to know that he's in all three at the same time. One of the things I share with the first service, one thing that I just marvel at, even more than creation, which is unbelievable, God speaking in existence, is that how somebody can know something totally in the future that hasn't happened yet in my life. That blows me away. But God knows all those things. That spirit realm is so vast that we haven't even touched the surface on how vast the spirit realm is. Hallelujah. But one day we're going to be with that God. Notice in verse 1, it's a revelation of him which God will show unto his servants. Are you a servant in here? All revelation is centered through Jesus Christ. Hear me on this. An angel that receives something from the Lord can speak that. But an angel will not bring you the revelation from God. They only speak what they're told to share. Are you with me? When somebody says an angel came and brought this new revelation, I'm here to tell you that's not scriptural. They're only servants that does his bidding. Say amen. Can they appear? Can they help? Absolutely. But it's not their revelation. I've seen a lot of people get into error by saying, well, this angel told me what to do. The Father tells the angels what to do. Because if you're listening to that, chances are it may be demonic and not inspired by the King. Oh, I'm preaching now. I know in what I'm talking about. I've seen so many errors that people concoct in their own minds thinking it's the Lord. Here's the next thing. Angels are never to be worshipped. All through Scripture, when John had a great revelation, let me say it to you, he bowed down before the angel. Every angel that is a true angel says, get up, only worship God. I'm thy fellow servant. The only one who wants worship is Satan himself. Are you hearing me? So anytime anyone draws attention to oneself, it becomes their own self in the gospel. I'm here to say there's error there. Jesus is the only one that is lifted up. In these next few weeks, I'm going to be dealing with false prophets because they're out and they're out among us. And many times when they come in sheep's clothing. They never come with the fangs. They never come with the claws. They always try to creep in subtly to get their message until you find out what's inside, that they're ravaging wolves. It's kind of quiet in here. When God discloses a word, he does it by his Spirit. When it comes to the book of Revelation, no natural way will you be able to interpret it but by his Spirit. He designed it that way. But I'm here to say that there are areas in the book you need to be mature about. Because there's areas of Ezekiel, areas of Daniel, are all brought together in this area. That's why you got to search the scriptures. And here's a true fact. There is nothing in the book of Revelation that cannot be interpreted. Nothing. But sometimes you got to dig. Sometimes you got to spend time in the Word. Get a cross-reference between what he's saying. Say amen. How many of us, God will reveal it by his Spirit? Hello? And then somebody asked me, Pastor Tom, do you believe we're going to go through the Great Tribulation? I have to say no. Here's why. Through all my life, every example in Scripture, what did God do for Noah? He built him a boat, true? He came up to it. God, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? He brought Lot out. Are you with me? Everywhere I see in Scripture, why do we get to be the lucky ones that go through the Great Tribulation? Why all of a sudden we get to be the ones when every generation has not? See, it's not congruent to Scripture. The next thing is, when it comes to the book of Revelation, it's a pouring out of wrath. We're not appointed to wrath. We're the bride. And I've never seen anybody beat up the bride. My opinion is this. While the Great Tribulation is going on, in the Jewish wedding, it lasted 7 days. That we will be in heaven rejoicing with him during that time. That'll be the marriage of the Lamb while tribulation is being poured out. Because after chapter 4, I cannot find anywhere reference of us being here but a view from heaven down. I see people on the earth, and I also see people turn into the Lord during the tribulation. Some people will repent and get their life right. It'll probably cost them their life. But all through Scripture, I see people that will repent. But I only see the view coming, because when you get to chapter 19, who's going to return? Who's the army of the Lord? How did we get there? Say amen. It's awful quiet. I believe the Lord will give us revelation. And here's the next thing. Even if we did go through it, there would be such a thing upon the church, it'd be unbelievable. Amen? What happened in the land of Goshen when Egypt was getting plagued? Didn't they have peace on this side? Didn't the death angel pass over? Yes or no? Has God always taken care of his people? Then when will he stop doing that? It goes against character. So sometimes when somebody says this, now I've seen all views. I've seen the post, I've seen the pre, I've seen the mid-trib. I've read all those areas. But I have to go with his character when it comes to these things. Somebody say amen. It's a whole different world here. Chapter 1, look at verse 2. He's talking about John, who bears record of the word of God and the testimony of Christ, which he saw. John is going to get these revelations. He's going to get spiritual insight. He's going to get insight into the spirit world. And the natural eyes will not be able to comprehend. But by his Spirit, he's going to be able to give show types and shadows, symbols. He's going to be able, by the Spirit, speak those truths that we can hold on to. The book is a spiritual book that we must be spiritual in nature. Somebody say amen. I remember one time, I just crack up. This news guy not too long ago said this. Talking about the Bible, I've read it from cover to cover, no big deal. And I could tell he didn't receive nothing from the book. You can read it as a history book, a story book, but it has to be revealed by God's power. Amen? In Acts 1, verse 7, Mark 13, verse 32, each of these areas has to deal with God by his own power. Look at verse 3. Blessed is he. Somebody say blessed. How many want to be blessed? Okay, four of you. How many want to be blessed? I'd rather be blessed than cursed. Notice it's blessed to he who reads and hears the words of this prophecy. But notice, and keeps those things that are written. It's one thing to hear. The book conveys this idea. He who reads and also he who hears. That means to hear. It conveys the idea of earnestness. So I'm going to heed to it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to listen to it. And I'm going to understand it. You can't receive something you don't understand. Say amen. In Revelation 2 verse 11, he who has ear, let him hear. God wants the church to understand. He wants them to understand that, listen to me, each area that I bring forth, it comes through Jesus Christ. And there's a blessing by keeping forth this prophecy. If you take the word of God, God, I want to know, do you have the Holy Spirit when you're saved? Yes or no? Can you pray, Holy Spirit, teach me your word? Yes or no? I mean, it's God will be there with you. And he'll take as much time as you need. Many times we need to ask him. And here's another truth. When it comes to the Word of God, if something doesn't match up and it's really off, keep studying. The Word will work out truth. Amen? When there's two opinions like that, keep looking at the Word. Lord, give me revelation here, and God will give it to you. He will. He'll speak to you. There are some portions in Scripture that are hard to understand. I know it. But keep studying in those things. But notice that you're blessed if you hear and you keep. That means you have possession in there. You're taking that in your life. Look at verse 3, end of the verse. It says, for the time is at hand. Somebody say, it's now time. Somebody say, it's now time. Listen to me, it's decision time. I shared with the first service, it's time to live for the Lord. It's decision time. The church needs to make a decision. As for me and my house, I'm living for God. We can't use a virus as an excuse why we're not sold out to him. Oh, that's pretty weak in here. It's decision time. And the church needs to make it. This fence that we talk about, this invisible fence, well, there is none. You're for him or against him. You can cross the aisle if you want. If you choose not to, that's your choice. But many times we use it as a crutch. Well, I got time. I'll live for the Lord later. You don't know how much time you have. Amen? I just read early this morning, I was checking the news, this plane crashed into a house. I mean, what's up with that? Okay? And at least three people were killed. Did they know they had tomorrow? Were they thinking about that? I mean, it just happens. What if that was your home and went through your window? See, when I look at those things, it's like, man, what's that? It's just unbelievable. Like my buddy, he was telling me a story that there was a car, was on the train tracks, and it stalled, and the gentleman got out. It was safe. He ran away from the car. The train hit the car, but the motor flew out and killed the guy. I look at that, I go, what's up with that? It's like you plan on in life, you do this and that, but the truth is it's now time. And how much more now, a couple thousand years later than when it was written? It's now time. But we can't look at that either, because it's an eternal scripture. It's a now time now, and it was a now time then. Amen? It's an eternal word. Lord, we need to get it right. God's given us space to repent, and he has. He's given Michigan time to repent. He's given America a time to repent. He's given this country, this nation, this world time to repent. It's now time. Say amen. With all that's with me, I'm going to be going through these series. I know I start my treatment on the 11th. So that will be a week from Monday. I don't know how it's going to affect me initially, but I'm going to do all I can to be here. Amen. I've gotten some great tips from you ladies and gentlemen here, the nurses and doctors there, that have helped me in this area. I'm praying that I don't have all the side effects yet. Amen? Will you agree with me there? But one thing that's in my heart, And you all know it. You've all seen somebody that's had their hair all gone and they're wearing a scarf or whatever. My heart is this, and I'm going to be able to get a chance to talk to everybody there. Maybe breathe a little hope. Once I'm not the newbie anymore, that I'll be able to share. That's my goal. Amen? Would you agree with me there? I believe a revival can break out there. Sometimes people, when they'll have any hope, they're looking for it. Maybe the Lord's sending somebody by. He's not the author of my sickness, but I want to use it to the max. And not that I'm all that either, you guys. I just want to see God work. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at verse 4. John to the seven churches. Somebody say seven churches. Seven is a number of completion. Now, there were more churches listed than what was here. So it isn't that all of a sudden there were just seven churches I'm addressing. He's saying this. I'm addressing the total church today. Even the church of Lighthouse, I'm addressing you. So he says, I'm writing unto the seven churches in Asia. It's a complete church. He's saying to the completed church, I'm going to speak unto you. I want to have this church, Lighthouse, that the Lord has nothing against us. I'm here with me. I share with the first service, your homework's going to be here. Read chapters 1, 2, and 3. Go through them. See those areas, because we'll discuss those in future time. When John greets the churches, he greets, grace be unto you. Just like he did in 2 John chapter 3. It's kind of was his theme, that he spoke grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. I always thought it was such a fitting greeting, that he was blessing them, he's greeting them in the name of the Lord. Because our God is forever the same. It's like he's signifying the great God Jehovah be in your midst. We just read that you're blessed because of the scripture. We're blessed because of the Trinity, the triune nature of God. He still remains the same. In Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. That means he changes not. Never let the enemy try to put something in there that, hey, God doesn't care. He always cares. We carry in this body our only weakness. My only weakness is not my spirit. It's my flesh. My flesh is what's weak. I live in a sin-cursed body because of Adam. But even one day I'll have a new body likened unto Christ. Like many of you, the older I get, I find out I have a couple holes in my tent. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Few patches here and there. How many have a few groans here and there? Oh, nobody in here. You're all perfect. Amen. How many ever thought you did something when you were younger and you tried it when you were older and like, dude, it takes a little bit longer to recuperate from that. Somebody say amen. But the truth is that, you know what? I want to have a good journey while I'm in this body. Who's with me? Then, Lord, work in that arena. Because I know you're a God that doesn't change. Malachi 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. I love that. He doesn't change. He's writing unto the completed church. He's saying to me, that same seven spirits of God, that number of completion, by my spirit, I'm going to reveal the word. And I'm going to do it not only now, but consider this the last days. The more I look, the more I see things rapidly changing. How many agree? Seem like daily things are going this way and this way. I see the spirit of Antichrist arising up in individuals. That spirit of disobedience is rampant everywhere. People are calling good evil and evil good. We don't even know if we're men and women anymore. Oh, no one wants to touch it. How many knows God made male and he made female? He didn't make anything else. I said he didn't make anything else. And just because you choose in your mind to say what you are, that's not reality. I'm telling you right now. Can you imagine educators right now that have men, boys, going into girls' locker rooms because they feel they're girls? How would you like to have your daughter there? That's reality. I mean, we're living in a different time today. Here's the problem. When Sodom and Gomorrah was judged, it wasn't judged because there was homosexuality rampant, no doubt about it. But the major sin was that they were prideful in their sin. Yeah. that's when judgment came. When you become prideful in your sin, that's when judgment will come to any nation. America's not far from that now. We're prideful in our sin, no matter what sin it is. That just happened to be a particular one that was there. Amen? Can you imagine the angelic host coming to Lot's house, and then all of a sudden men start beating on the door? Hey, those guys that just came to your house, bring them out. We want to have sex with them. Can you imagine the affront that was? And angels weren't like this. Oh, no. Oh, no. You know what happened? Blindness at the door. That's how powerful everything is in the kingdom. And they walked around blinded. And then God came down himself to see those things. No one destroys the world unless it gets permission from the king. And he will always wait to the last moment because he's so graceful. He didn't bring destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah till he had to do this. He had to tell the angels, get out of town. He pushed them out. And then Lot's wife looked back and poof. That's true. When God gives you instructions, let's heed to it. Amen? She could have lived too. How many want to live? It's like, what's it going to take for America to bow its knee again? What's it going to take that to get our attention? This virus has not got the attention of America. It has not. It has not. It hasn't moved the kingdom of God advanced forward. Then what's it going to take for this country to turn? We had a big uptick when the towers were down. Cataclysmic, terrible events. But then it milded off and it kind of went back to the norm. Church, we need to step up our prayer time. Amen? We need to seek the Lord as he may be found. Because as it was in the days of Noah, they were eating, drinking, married, given in marriage until the day they entered the ark. It seemed like that's the same today. Things are going on as normal. Yet the kingdom of God is so real today. It's so close to us. Is this good this morning? Look at verse 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who's the, somebody say, faithful witness. How many knows he is faithful? He was faithful when we weren't faithful. When we were living in sin, he was still faithful. When we walked away from him, he was still faithful. I would rather have somebody with me who is faithful than talented. Why? Because that faithful person will get it done. And you know what? If they really want to work on that area, they'll start to polish that area. I want to get better at this. But who can find a faithful man or woman? I want you to know Jesus is the faithful witness. He doesn't deny himself even if we deny him. Say amen. Revelation 3 verse 14 if you're taking notes. Revelation 19 verse 11. All these deal with him being faithful. Revelation 21 verse 5. Write these things that are there true and faithful. Jesus always brings forth fresh revelation. But he's a faithful, somebody say witness. I looked up this word witness in the Greek. It's not what we think it is. It's not we're like, well, I'm sharing the gospel. When you break the word Greek down, witness means martyr. It means this, one who would die for the faith. Or one who is strong enough to die for it. Jesus is that type of witness. And the witness is the example of life. That I would die for my faith. How many want to be that type of witness? I want to be that type of witness. Jesus is that faithful martyr witness. He's the one that demonstrated that no matter what, I'm going to show my, not only that he is Lord, I'm going to demonstrate it and offer myself the ultimate sacrifice. I love that. I want to be that type of person. That my faith is so strong that I would lose my life for my faith. Anybody here? How many knows that takes a lot? Especially when your mortality is tested. It's easy to, okay, I'll compromise. It is easy. I understand it. When like those Hebrew children got thrown in the fiery furnace, man, come on. It's not easy. But yet, you know what? Even when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, that's not easy, true? They starved the lions on purpose. So when they came out, they were ferocious and they would eat anything in its way. And yet, king comes early in the morning. Dan, are you okay? Oh, king, live forever. I am okay. How many of God will see you through? Even when you're in the midst of the den, there are sometimes I'm like this. I believe in divine healing. 100%. I don't have one doubt. I've seen God use even myself in healing of others. I don't understand sometimes when I got to walk through some things. But I have a faith that he'll see me through. Are you with me? I never say, well, if you had more faith, this wouldn't happen. That's never in my vocabulary. Lord, you'll see me through. Amen. Lord, whether you touch me now, you touch me in a moment, God, you're able to touch. Hallelujah. It doesn't rock my faith. I'm not saying, oh, Lord, where are you? Where? No, none of that is even in me. It's like, Lord, you're going to see through. That's kind of where my faith is, that he'll see through. He will see you through. And he's going to do something in your pastor that's greater. That's my hope, that I will be better pastor for you all. Honestly, I'm not trying to lift myself up. I want to be a better pastor because of this. It helps me be in touch with people's feelings and infirmities. It does. When they say, hey, I understand. It's like there's something there sometimes you can tell. It's like, yeah, you've been through it too. How many of us that opens doors to share? Amen? Everybody with me on this? And I know you all love, and believe me, my wife really appreciates how you stood with me to pray for me. Because this affects my wife in different ways. She thinks about it. She's worried about it. Amen? She's a caring wife. Believe me, if I'm not here on a Sunday, it's only because I couldn't move. Just pray for me. Amen? God will see us through. Amen? My only consolation is at least it's at the beginning of the year. Hallelujah. We'll get through this and keep rocking on. But I'm going to unload on you, church. Amen? You get me away for a little while. Good night. Buckle your seatbelts. Amen? Look at verse 5. He's not only a faithful witness, he's the first begotten of the dead. That means he's the first one that was resurrected from being totally dead. He became totally alive. No other world leader, no other religious person can make this stance that I was dead and now I'm alive forevermore. That is so unbelievable. And then he makes this statement, death could not hold me. Hallelujah. Think about it. He tasted death for every man. And here's what's so gripping to me as a pastor. Jesus experienced separation from God so we wouldn't have to. And to me, not only the burning, the suffering, it would be unbelievably awful. The absence of the presence of God will be the greatest hurt anyone ever experiences in their life. Notice Jesus was bleeding, beat on the cross, beat worse than hamburger. And he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? It's because sin was placed upon him. Jesus would have been consumed if the Father did not turn at that moment. But I want you to know that the next moment the relationship was restored. So Jesus tasted death for every man. That's why when somebody stands before the white throne judgment and say, God, you don't understand. No, I tasted death for you. I tasted hell for you. I tasted sin for you. I did everything I could to keep you from going to that place. He's the first begotten. He's the first one of the resurrection. And now we will follow. Each one has our time and course. Hallelujah. As he's overcome, so shall I. Say amen. We shouldn't fear that area. My wife and I, we reflect at the end of the year some of the saints that have passed on. It's always a tough time. But we begin to number the saints that have passed on. And I want you to know that there's quite a reunion in heaven with Lighthouse. Amen? My mom gave me that glimpse, so I shared with some of you. My mom, when she was passing on, she was tipped off. They're waiting for you. Her parents were waiting for her. I mean, that's so awesome. Not only will you meet Jesus, you'll meet your loved ones. Maybe a child that passed on early, a grandparent that's there. I mean, that's so awesome. And I saw in my mom's heart and spirit, she was comforted by that. Because when you're breathing your last and you're leaving here, there's a little bit of fear. Would you agree? Sometimes we're like, oh, no, there is. You want to live longer. But as she was breathing last, heaven was open. And what's so amazing is that what she heard and what she saw, I couldn't see in the natural. Her ears were open. She said, heaven's so beautiful. The sounds are so beautiful. Say amen. I mean, God will comfort you even at your last breath. He will be there for you. Hallelujah. And it's nothing for him to send a dispatchment of angels to help you along. God won't forget you when you breathe your last. Hallelujah! How many knows he's the first and the last? He's the beginning. Notice in verse 5, it's giving revelation. Remember, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice he's the Prince of the Kings. Listen to me. He's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has the right to priestly manners and rule. And he proved it to the world. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke, said, all power and all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Can you imagine that in Satan's ears? All the Pharisees, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And no one could refute that claim. He's the Prince, he's the King of Kings. Hallelujah. The same with us. We shall reign with him. Ah, that's good news. Are you enjoying this? I'm just getting going and we're going to have to stop here. Amen? I'm going to make this statement to you. Jesus is faithful. Is that true? Jesus is alive. Is that true? Jesus is King. Is that true? Each one of us. Why? Because he washed us in his own blood. Verse 5. He washed us because he loved us. The greatest thing ever, the theme of Scripture is that he loves us. Why he washed up? Because he loves us. When you don't think you're worthy, God still loves you. I asked the first service here, have you ever failed before and felt miserable? How many failed more than once? In the same area. Let me see. Habitual sinners in this area. The truth is that God still forgives us. But the hope and goal is this, that you stop doing that less. And soon, not at all. How many of those is progression there? Then, Lord, help me. There isn't a sin you can't beat with the power of the Holy Ghost. The conviction that comes, thank God for that. Woe unto us if we sin and don't have conviction. Come on. We should feel that conviction like, Lord, I'm sorry I made a mistake here. Be quick to repent. But when we don't care anymore, that means our hearts become calloused. That means we're doing it over and over and over and over. No longer do we even want to deal with it. Oh, Lord, take that stony heart out. Give me a heart of flesh again. Why? Because you love me. And you gave yourself for me. Period. Why did he do it? Because he loves me. And he gave himself for me. I've been washed. I'll close with this. Notice you've been washed from your sins, verse 5. That means there's liberation from guilt. Somebody say, I'm free from guilt. Don't walk in guilt anymore. If you've been forgiven, it's under the blood, keep going. If somebody tries to bring it up, keep walking. Don't take that bait. Believe me, the more holy you get, the more the enemy's going to try to taint you, try to hurt your character, try to say you didn't mean what you prayed. Just rebuke all that. Because before you were saved, you got none of that. You only got it after you got saved. Somebody say amen. That means there's a change. Something's going on. There's something different in your life. I like liberation from guilt. How about this? Liberation from the bondage of sin. That when I got saved, he set me free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. That means no longer does this big history of sin be over my head. I've been liberated off that. I am free to serve. Hallelujah. And the more I walk away from it, the less this me is hounding me, and I can soon forget it. But I've seen the enemy try to bring it back around, try to bring an old temptation back around. Keep walking. Hallelujah. You've been liberated. I said, you've been liberated. One of the things Satan hates when you realize you've been free by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The word of your testimony is now powerful, more powerful than even his words, because you got Christ in you. I want you to forgive yourself if you failed. You did it because you were foolish. Say amen. Sin makes us stupid. Oh, nobody in here. How many understand that? If you had the wisdom you do now, back when you were younger, you probably made some different decisions. Anybody with me? How many are like, nope, 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 get out. Oh, nobody in here. How many of us, that's reality. But the truth is we had to grow in. We had to make some mistakes. And we did. And we've been good at it. Now we need to be good at God's forgiveness in our lives. Walking with Christ. But he did it because he loves me. And now he has freed me. Hallelujah. Thank you for the cross. There's so many provisions that he did while he was dying that we need to incorporate into our lives. And one of these is free from sin and grace. I'm sorry, sin and shame. Hallelujah. And walk in new grace. Well, I got to close here. We're running out of time. Are you enjoying this little series here? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you over these next few weeks here, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, because we're going to gauge Lighthouse based on Scripture, honestly. We're going to say, where do we fit in this area? What areas do we need to work on? Are we a perfect church? No, because I'm not a perfect pastor. But Lord, I want to be. Say amen. I want to get there. But I want us to gauge ourselves because now is the time. And here's a true fact. The Lord's already spoken to me. If we judge ourselves, we won't be judged of another. And judgment must begin in the house of God. When it does, what will happen to the world? This is for every church, no matter big, small, in mid-size, it doesn't matter. Each one will be judged according to the word of God. How many want to be on that red area? We just read it's now time. I want us to be there. When the scriptures unfold and there's areas you need to change, Lord, I'm going to be quick to repent. How many enjoyed Jake in honesty and sincerity break down and cry? You can't have any more thing pure than that. That isn't taught. That's just being obedient to the Holy Spirit. We need that. Lord, pour it on them. Pour it on them, God. If we can get young people like that serving the Lord, it'll make a difference in the next generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we close in prayer? And as we do, I ask the first service. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to get some things right with the Lord. I want you to today in this service. It's now time. Maybe there's an area you just want to reassure your commitment and your faith to him. It's now time. Maybe there's an area of your life that you still struggle with. You know you. But you want to get victory in that area. It's now time. I believe in this service as we close, these three areas can happen as a simple step of faith to pray. I'm going to pray and I want you to agree with me, church. And if you need to get your life right, ask him, forgive me. If there's an area of weakness in your life, Lord, help take this away from me. Give me strength. And the Lord will do just that. Hallelujah. Pray this with me, church. Lord Jesus, everyone here, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins. Father, I thank you for sending your son, for dying for me. I believe that Jesus is Lord. And I believe that he died for me according to the scriptures. So I ask you right now to come into my life, to forgive me, to change me. Father, I believe that Jesus is alive. And I believe that right now I'm forgiven. And I thank you that you paid the price for my sins. Help me in my weaknesses, because now I boldly confess that Jesus is Lord of my life. In your mighty name, amen. Amen.